Luke chapter 12, and I'd like to read just the first three verses of this, where it says, starting at verse 1, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." And we're going to look at some of this this evening. Before we do, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the word that he's left us and for the instructions that he has left us as well in how he would have us to live this life in a manner that would please you. And Lord, we thank you for the Spirit of God that teaches us and leads us into all truth and righteousness. And Lord, I ask this evening that it will be your Spirit that guides and leads, and that, Father, only those things that are pure and right in your sight will be said, and Father, certainly remain in our minds. And I ask and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here in Luke chapter 12, we are given a picture of a time when Jesus was surrounded by a great multitude of people, so much so that they were treading upon one another to be able to see and hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not told all the motives for so many people being there, but we can assume that some were there just out of curiosity, some were there out of maybe boredom, some were there, no doubt, hoping to be healed or just to see a miracle. But there were certainly a lot of people there. And I wonder, out of the great multitude, how many this very day are still being punished in hell this very moment. You know, the very fact that they saw the Lord Jesus Christ and they heard his words, that didn't mean that they had secured eternal life. You know, if we want to enjoy eternal life, we not only have to hear the words of Christ, we also have to heed them and do what he says in regards to salvation. And I wonder, when you got so many people there, how many took part and enjoyed that free gift of eternal life? Well, upon this day, we see, even though there were thousands surrounding Jesus, Jesus first of all had a word for his disciples, it says there. I'm not sure if that meant just the 12 disciples, or we know that there were more than just 12 following the Lord Jesus around, maybe 100 or so. I'm not sure if it was just for the 12 or for that 100 or so, but we know that this was a word for the true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing he says to them, he says, "Beware ye." When we see the word "ye" there, shows us that's the plural. So he wasn't just speaking to one person. He was speaking to a number of people here. And he says, "Beware ye." That means take heed to yourself or separate yourself. You know, if I said, "Beware of that dog because he can really bite," all right, what you would do is you would separate yourself as far as you can from that dog. That's what you're meaning. You're being aware, and I'm going to keep my distance. Well, this is what the Lord Jesus is saying to his disciples. There was something that his disciples wanted. He wanted them to separate themselves from, where they aren't to be tricked by it. They're not to have a part in it. They were to stay completely away from. And what were they to stay away from? He says, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees." They were to stay clear of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, we know that leaven was used in those days in the dough to ferment it and make it rise, and it had a decaying agent in it, or it was a decaying agent. And in the Bible, often leaven is used to symbolize something that is evil and sinful. over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, purge out the leaven so the whole lump can be pure. And he was referring to the church there as saying that you need to get rid of that sin that's in the church so that as a whole lump of a body of believers, you can be holy. And so often in the Word of God, when leaven is used, there's a picture of something that is evil and sinful. And so Jesus tells the disciples to separate and be aware of the Pharisees' leaven. Now, what is the Pharisees' leaven that they were to stay away from? What is Jesus telling his disciples to have nothing to do with? Well, if we read on, we could quite easily think that he's talking about hypocrisy, and I'm not discarding that, but let's read it. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, there's no doubt that the hypocrisy of the Pharisees was evil, and it was something that the disciples of the Lord Jesus shouldn't have any part to do with, but I believe here that the hypocrisy there is more being used as an adjective to describe the leaven, like saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees which is evil, or beware of the leaven of the Pharisees which is deceitful or bad or hypocritical. It's a means of describing the leaven. Now, if that's the case, what is the leaven of the Pharisees? Well, if we turn over to Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus tells us what the leaven of the Pharisees really is. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is with his disciples. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 5, we read there, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then in verse 12 we read, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. See, Jesus was, when he's talking about the leaven, this corrupting mechanism of the Pharisees, what he's talking about is their doctrine, their teachings. And he's saying there, and he's also saying here in Luke, beware, stay clear of the doctrines or the teachings of the Pharisees. It produces hypocrisy and lots of other things as well. And so, I guess the question is, what was the teaching of the Pharisees that made it so wrong or evil? What didn't Christ like about this teaching of the Pharisees? Well, to discover that, we need to turn over to Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, the Lord Jesus has another go at them. And he says this. In Mark chapter 7, in verses 5 to 9, we read, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things. And the key verse there, where the Lord Jesus describes their doctrine, he says, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." That's the leaven. That was the problem that the Lord Jesus had with the teachings of the Pharisees, and that is, they taught as doctrine, that is, God's advice, God's commandments, the commandments of men. And so when the commandments of men and the traditions of their elders, they had made up certain rules, they then took those commandments that were given by men and said, "This is what God says you should be doing." And they taught that as doctrine. You see, what happened was, to help the people from breaking God's law, the Jews made up extra rules so they wouldn't transgress God's rules. And what happened over time is these helpful hints and these helpful rules to make sure you don't disobey God, these man-made rules became doctrines as well, whereby they would deem someone to have sinned if they broke the traditions as well. Now, I think I've used this example before in church, but for example, if just say to step down off this is you've committed a sin, all right? You've broken God's law. Well, then, and that's what we find in the Bible, you know, thou shalt not lie. And so if you go over here, you've just lied, all right? You've sinned against God. Well, what the Jewish people did and the Pharisees would do is, to keep you from falling over that line and sinning, we'll make a line back here and say, now you shouldn't go past here. And if you don't go past this rule, well then you'll never get to breaking the law of God and you won't sin. But in time, what people were doing, some people were going over the line and getting a bit closer, and they were saying, why are you going over that line? You shouldn't be doing that. You're breaking the rules of the elders. You're sinning. And so, to keep people from going over this rule, this line, they would make another line back here and say, now this is where you should stay, and that way you won't go over that line, and then you won't break the rule of the Lord. And so, in time though, then that would become sin to cross over that line, so they'd have to make another one back here. And so what they did is they piled burden upon burden upon burden upon the people, to the point where they had that many rules, they didn't know what was godly or what was doctrine from God and what was just simply the traditions of men. They thought everything was wrong. You know, let me give you an example. We know that God had told his people that they were to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, how does that affect everyday life? Well, you know, the Jews actually had, and I think they still do, have about 24 chapters of Sabbath day rules that they had to keep. I printed out some, just a couple, just to show you. For example, what if you were a weaver? You know, you weaved baskets. When are you deemed to have broken the Sabbath? Well, they had a rule for that, all right? They said, one who weaves on the Sabbath is culpable, that is, you've sinned, as soon as he has woven three threads at the beginning of the web. So if you weave three, well then you've sinned, if that's at the start of a line. But, and with a web already begun, all right, so if you've got a basket and you've gone halfway along, it's already begun, the addition of one thread suffices to make him culpable. All right, so these are the rules. You can't, one, and you've broken the Sabbath. Or if you do three, if it's at the beginning, you've broken the law of God or the law of the elders, thus you've sinned. You know, what about tying knots? You know, God says that you keep it holy, the Sabbath, and not to work. So he's tying a knot, breaking the law. Well, they had to make up rules for that. Following are the knots for the tying of which one becomes culpable. The knot of a camel driver made on the guiding rings, and the knot of a seaman made on the bow of a ship. Just as one becomes culpable for tying them, so also one becomes culpable for untying them. And so you can't tie up knots on your camel on the Sabbath, and you can't untie the knots as well. But if one does not become culpable for any knots that they can untie with one hand. All right, so if you can untie it with one hand, well, then that's all right. But you can't untie it with two hands. Now, this is just a smidgen. We've got 24 chapters of rules about these sort of things. And this wasn't God telling all these rules. This was the elders, man's traditions of, how do we not break the Sabbath? Well, let's make the line here. Oh, no, that people are breaking that now, so we better make it only tying knots, you know, whatever. And they go back and back and back until they've got all these burdens upon them. You know, when it came to washing their hands, God said that they would be holy. And so they believed that they should have holy hands and clean hands. And so then they decided they needed to make a rule about how you wash your hands as well. And it says, one hand should be washed with the other fist, and then the hands should then be raised so that the water might run off just at the wrists. And so that's how you had to wash your hands. Otherwise, you haven't done it properly. The water has to run off at your wrists. And this should be done before eating and also after eating, and sometimes, they say, in different circumstances, between courses, you have to wash your hands as well. And there are dozens and dozens and thousands of rules that they had, which were not God-given. These were the rules of the elders. You know, over in Mark, if you were back there in Mark chapter 7, Jesus even got caught out here. It says in Mark chapter 7, it says there in verse 1, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and tables. And then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And that's when Jesus said, well, I've got a problem with that, because you're more interested in teaching as doctrine the traditions of men and not worrying about the things of God. And so we see here that what they were doing is they were taking man-made rules and then saying, you break these rules, you're sinning. You know, these were the traditions that we're told Peter said we were redeemed from. Let me read it to you in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. And so, to the Lord, all of these doctrines, this teaching of the Pharisees, was hypocrisy. They put more of an emphasis on keeping the traditions of the fathers rather than the law of God. If you've got time, if you can turn there in Matthew chapter 23, we see the Lord speaking about this once again. He says in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25, it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. He's saying, you Pharisees, you make such a big deal about washing the pots and making them all clean, but you're full of extortion yourself. You're ripping people off. You're full of excess. You're indulging yourselves in ridiculous things. They're worried about the outward show. This is what their teaching brought about. but they weren't worried about the inner things. As he says in verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." You know, here were people that were worried about how you washed your hands just right, how you washed the pots just right, but they were secretly plotting to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't interested in obeying the law of God, thou shalt not kill. They were more interested in keeping the traditions of their fathers. And Jesus said, when it comes to these teachings of the elders and so forth, they looked all wonderful on the outside, but inside they were full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. And their doctrine caused hypocrisy. And that's what legalism does every time. Now let me add here, having standards, having even rules to govern yourself by, having traditions is not legalism. All right? People say, oh, there's a rule, that's legalism. Oh, you've got a standard, we should have no standards, no rules. That's not legalism. Legalism is when you take the man-made standards and traditions and rules that we may want to be governed by and then say, if you break those rules, you're sinning. That's when it becomes legalism. You know, for example, you know, I like as a standard here that when someone preaches in the pulpit to have a tie on, just for our culture, just to show respect for the Word of God, and that sort of fits in with our culture. That's a standard. Now, someone could say, well, that's being very legalistic, having a standard. Now, what becomes legalism and the doctrines like the Pharisees is when I start to say people that don't preach with a tie are sinning. That's evil and wrong. That's when it becomes legalism, when you take a man-made standard for one reason or another and then you start to say it's sin to break it. And that's what these Pharisees were doing. They were hiding behind their man-made rules and using it as a mask to hide their sinful hearts. And Jesus goes on to say that this mask will be removed and the truth will be revealed. He says there in verse 2, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." You know, Jesus said that the doctrine and the hypocrisy of these Pharisees will be revealed to all. And time has proven that. You know, what's the first thing you think about when you think of a Pharisee? If I say you're a Pharisee, do you think, oh, thank you. You know, what a wonderful thing. No. We think of a hypocrite, don't we, as soon as we hear the word Pharisee. And the world knows what they were like. They lived a life of outward show with all the keepings of the traditions of men, but yet they are known as those who crucified the Lord. And those evil plans that they hid in little rooms and conjured up about the Lord have been revealed to everyone. Everyone knows what they got up to. Those sinister thoughts that they had about the Lord Jesus, we all know what they were thinking. The Lord has revealed the truth of their sinful ways. And you know, Jesus warned his disciples to separate from this type of doctrine or this type of teaching and have nothing to do with it. And brethren, that applies to us today as well. You know, we're not to be tricked or to drawn into religions that do the same. You know, there are some, even in our city, where people are bound by the doctrines or the teachings of traditions, the teachings of men of the past, and they are bound by that, where if they break the traditions of the church or the traditions of the fathers, they're sinning, and they're bound up by that. I'm not going to mention the churches. I think we can work out which ones they are. But we need to be careful that we don't get drawn away by that. But the reality is we need to make sure that we don't become like that ourselves. You know, I think fundamentalists are just as guilty as legalism as any other denomination as well. And we have to be very careful that we don't fall into that trap where, despite the fact that we may have standards to keep us from sinning, let's not start sprouting that breaking the standard itself is a sin. Our doctrine that we ought to teach should be from the Word of God, not what we just believe is right. You know, I think of the most simplest example to understand is we all know that there are certain things on TV where if you watch that, you're sinning. All right? There are certain things that we should not behold. And if you have the TV and you watch certain things, you have stepped over the mark and you've sinned. Now, probably a very good standard to have would be, well, let's come back here so you won't ever sin while watching TV by not having a TV. That's a very good standard. Right? I'm not going to knock anyone who says that. But sadly, there are some people who say, "Ooh, you've got a TV, you're sinning." No, that's not true. It's what you watch. Same we can say for the internet. You know, there are a lot of things on the internet where you watch, you're sinning. Now, some will say, well, the best standard to have is just not have the internet. And that's a good standard to have. But let's not fall in the trap of saying that actually having the internet, you are now sinning. It's what you watch and what you do. And that process could go on to a lot of things. There's a lot of good standards and helpful hints to keep us from sinning, but breaking the standards and helpful hints isn't the sin. And we need to guard ourselves against that, making sure that we don't start teaching our standards, our doctrines, or our teachings as being the doctrines of God. You know, I know as a young man when I was very zealous to please God, I found myself falling into this trap. It wasn't the church's fault that I attended. I just sort of went berserker, I guess, where I thought, well, here's a model of a church where I thought they do everything really well and everything there is safe and right, to the point where I thought, well, anything different to this, it has to be wrong. And so I'd go into another church and I'd find out that they only have Lord's table once a month. And I thought that was wrong. You know, you have to have it every week. That's what we do. And then when they had the Lord's table, the church I had, they had little bread and they had it cut up into little squares and I liked that. And they had like these crumbled up things. I go, well, that's wrong. You can't have it like that. You've got to have it the way we have it. And then they'd have different hymn books to the way the hymn books that we use. And I thought, that's wrong. And then I remember once a preacher was preaching away in this church and he had a brown Bible cover. And I thought, a brown Bible cover? They're meant to be black. You know, that's all that I've ever seen. How could you have a brown Bible cover? And the list could go on, I'm telling you, of things where, especially the ties, you know, you go in and all these people haven't got ties. We've got a lot of sinners here tonight, I'm telling you. But that's the mentality that we all can slip into, where we get surrounded by what we believe is safe, but a lot of the things are just man-made standards to keep us from sinning. But then we start to think anyone that doesn't abide by our standards, that's sin. And that becomes what Jesus said was teaching the traditions of men as the doctrines of God. And that is a leaven, that is a corruptness that will destroy any church, any person, any denomination. You know, the reality is for a lot of those churches that I probably attended and I considered as being very evil, a lot of those people probably had a much closer walk with the Lord than I ever had. Because sadly, I got to the point where I thought, well, if I'm in this circumstance and I'm surrounded doing everything that's right, well, then that's all that matters. When the reality is, it was my relationship with the Lord that was the most important. And it was what I did in private, in the home, by myself that really mattered. That's when you find out when there's true holiness or not. And so we need to be careful of that, as Jesus warned us of. And after Jesus warns his disciples of this, he then in verse 4 goes on to show how, so verse 4, yep, how that just as the hypocrisy of the Pharisees will be made known, so too will his word be made known. The hidden things of the Pharisees were going to be made known, and the hidden things of his word that were spoken were going to prevail and be revealed to all. And we're going to look at that next time. And so, for this evening, let's make sure that we don't partake of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that even out of zeal, Father, we worship you falsely. And Lord, we miss the mark. And I pray that, Lord, you'll give us diligence and wisdom, that, Father, we would seek after righteousness and your ways and not be, Father, bound up simply by the traditions of men. And Lord, I pray you'll give each one of us wisdom in knowing these things. Amen.